If you'll turn in your Bible this morning to Ezekiel chapter 18, I want to begin the first part of two-part study of Ezekiel chapter 18. Thank you for being with us on the Let the Bible Speak program. I want to talk today, and Lord willing next week, about the accountability and the responsibility of mankind with God. God holds us accountable for our actions, right and wrong. And we live in a world where accountability is not being stressed like it should. Responsibility and accountability is not being encouraged in the children, in the home and in the family, and the adult citizen in society. And we are engaged in blaming others, excusing our behavior, letting things go that are wrong, turning a blind eye toward lawless behavior. And we've got to get back to the Bible truth on the importance of accountability and responsibility. And Ezekiel chapter 18 is a great chapter to study to understand the Bible truth on this matter. And even though it is in the Old Testament, we find these same principles true in the New Testament. Ezekiel is a prophet of God that is in Babylon after part of the children of Israel have already gone into Babylonian captivity. There were three major deportations of Israelites into Babylonian captivity. And after the first one in 597, 596 BC, Ezekiel has been in Babylon for about 5 years. And he begins to preach to God's people in Babylon. Jeremiah continued to preach to God's people who were still in Judah. And Ezekiel is preaching to God's people who are in Babylon out in the province. Daniel is in the capital city, one of the capital cities. And so you have these prophets, Jeremiah leading up to the Babylonian captivity, and Daniel and Ezekiel within the Babylonian captivity. And God wanted his people to continue to hear his word in Babylon, even though they were being punished for their sins. He wanted them to hear his word. Much of it is a message of condemnation. But there are places throughout Ezekiel, especially toward the end, when you get up toward the end of the chapter, toward the end of the book, you get into some promises that one day God's people will come back and be revived, and there will be one shepherd, one king, who would be Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So there are some messages of hope, but there are a number of messages, of course, of judgment and condemnation. And after God's people got into Babylonian captivity, they were making a proverb or a saying that we're being punished for somebody else's sins. And so God spends some time giving a message through Ezekiel saying that this is not the case. You cannot use this excuse. You cannot blame other people for your sins. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 18. We will look at part of it this morning on the program, and Lord willing, next week we will wrap up the chapter. And we're going to find that this is a very pertinent passage for us today. If you don't remember anything, remember this. Just a few words. Change, not blame. Change, not blame. God wants us to change, friends. God does not want us to go throughout life blaming others for the situation that we are in. Change your ways, don't blame others. And that is so important because today what we see for the most part is people just simply blaming others for what's going on in their life today. Change, not blame. So let's read together Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 1. The word of Jehovah came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, you shall not have any occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son. The soul that sins, it shall die. This proverb that was being spoken of is basically the children of Israel saying, our ancestors have done wrong and now we are being punished for it. It's interesting that Jeremiah brings up this exact same point. God said in Jeremiah 31 in verse 29 that this proverb would no longer be used. People are saying things and trying to excuse their behavior. Now, the first thing that we want to notice here is that there are two biblical principles that are set forth, and they are not at odds with each other. There is a biblical principle that is set forth that when a person sins and has bad behavior, there will be effects that will reach to their family and to others around them. For example, a drunk. Someone who's a drunk, that sin is theirs. But their drunkenness might affect their family. The man might beat his wife, for example, when he's drunk. The family might not have enough food or clothing or shelter because the man is drinking up all the money with alcohol. And maybe he doesn't keep a job. And maybe there are other effects and other consequences. So there is that principle that is taught. And that is actually taught in such passages as Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. God will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation. So there is a way in which the effects reach other people. And we certainly understand that. But what is being taught here is this. God is saying, with regard to your own personal accountability and standing for God, you are going to be judged according to your own sins. The effects of sin, both socially and physically, can often reach to other people, and it can go down through even generations. And when Manasseh, particularly a very evil king toward the end of Judah, when Manasseh was evil, there were many effects that lasted for a long time. But what is going on here is the individual spiritual status before God. That's determined by one's own actions. And so Ezekiel, God through Ezekiel, is going to bring them back to this principle. You are spiritually dying because of your own sin, not that of your ancestors. Then also notice in verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of mine. The soul of the Son is mine. Notice this principle that we are accountable to God. Now, in a nation that is slowly getting away from God, becoming more secular and humanistic and atheistic, people are just born into this life and they have no sense of accountability toward God. When I was younger, there was a greater accountability toward God. People are getting away from that. But whether you believe in God or not, you're held accountable to God. You belong to God. Notice that statement, all souls are mine. Friends, we need to bring our life into conformity to the New Testament gospel because we belong to God. We're held accountable to Him. We can't escape Him. We can't simply just put Him out of our mind and don't worry about Him. All souls are mine. That is teaching accountability. And so we have to answer to God. And in the judgment day, we will have to answer to God. Everyone will stand before God in Christ in the judgment day. And so you need to get your life right with God, and so do I. It's very important. Don't go through life thinking that you're just simply this independent person. You can say and think and do whatever you want. You are accountable to God. And then in verse 4, God says, the soul that sins, it shall die. We need to talk about that. What do we mean die? We're not talking about physical death here, although all people do eventually die, Hebrews 9:27. This is talking about spiritual death. When a person sins, they are separated from God. And so the word death is used because death is a separation of the body and the soul. James says that in James chapter 2. The soul or the spirit apart from the body is dead. So when a person dies, their spirit leaves their body. There is a separation. And so when we sin, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 and following, we're separated from God. He cannot be in fellowship with us while we're in that sin. And so there's a separation. And so that's why die is being used here. And later in the chapter, we're going to see that God says that a person will not die. He will not be dead spiritually. So when a person does that which is right, he will not die. He's not talking about he will not die physically. All people will die, righteous or wicked, but he will not die spiritually when he's living right and doing what is right. So we need to understand that before we go farther. In this chapter, we're talking about death, someone who does die or someone who does not die, and we're talking about spiritual death. That's very important to keep that in mind. So let's look at the main part of this lesson that God gives through Ezekiel. Now, starting in verse 5 down through verse 20, along in there, the first part of this lesson is teaching that God deals with each one according to his own life, his own works, his own actions. Then later, starting in verse 21 to the end of the chapter, there's an emphasis on each person can change. You can change for the good or you can change for the worse. So let's look at this first section where Ezekiel is saying primarily that God is going to hold you, the individual, accountable for your actions. Verse 5. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come unto a woman in her impurity, and hath not wronged any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, and hath taken nothing by robbery, and hath covered the naked with a garment, he that hath not given forth upon interest, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true justice between man and man, and hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept mine ordinances to deal truly, he is just, he shall live, saith the Lord Jehovah. So, the first example that is given is someone who's living a just and righteous life. There are several things that I want to pull out of this. First of all, notice that you can live a just and righteous life. This goes against Calvinism that says that you're born in sin or born with a depraved nature. You can be just and right. You can live right. And notice that this person, again, Ezekiel, we're in the Old Testament. We're talking about Israelites who are living under the old law. Today, we're under the law of Christ. But this man could understand the old law. Notice all of these different laws. There were several things that he was not to do. He was not to commit idolatry. He was not to defile his neighbor's wife with fornication or adultery, to go unto a woman in her monthly impurity. All of these laws are mentioned in the Law of Moses, and you can look them up. There's various references. We won't take time to do that this morning, but not going unto a woman in her impurity is listed in Leviticus 18, verse 19, and there's places where all of these laws are mentioned. Number one, you can live right And number two, you can understand God's law. He understands these things. Things that he's supposed to stay away from, he doesn't do those things. Things that he is supposed to do, good things, righteous things, upright things, he does those things. Verse 8, he executes true justice. You can carry out God's word. Some people say, well, I can't live right. No, you can. Some people say, well, I can never understand God's law. There's too much of it, or it's too hard. John says in 1 John 5, verse 4, that the commandments are not burdensome. We can do them. You can understand God's word. We just need to get our Bible open and get to reading it and understanding it and applying it. And God's word is not too high. The standard is not too high. Notice that God says, this man kept these things. He did these things. He stayed away from certain things that were wrong. He did other things that were right. Verse 9, he has walked in my statutes and has kept mine ordinances to deal truly. So, yes, you can live right. You can understand God's law. You can actually obey it. It's not too hard to do. And then, verse 9, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Lord Jehovah. Notice what makes you just and right with God is not just what you think and feel. It's not what society says. It's by you following the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances of God. That's what makes you right. A lot of times people get up, they say, well, I'm a good person. That's based upon their opinion or what their family thinks of them. But are you following the commandments of God? That's what makes you right in the sight of God. Not what I think or feel, not what society says, not opinions, not statistics, not what the experts say, what the scholars say, but are you following the commandments of God? And we can be righteous and do righteousness. John says that in 1 John chapter 3, that a child of God can go out and do righteousness. You can do that. It's not too high and lofty of a challenge. So the first man, verses 5 through 9, is living right in the sight of God. And I want you to notice something here, friends, throughout today's study and Lord willing next week. God is impartial. He's fair and just and right. There is no respecter of persons with God. This is a very important principle. If you live a just and righteous life by following God's commandments, he will proclaim you just. Verse 9, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Lord Jehovah. You are counted just by God, and you are given the reward of spiritual life. You'll be right with God. You'll have a home in heaven. God is not impartial. God is not a respecter of persons. God is not unfair. He's not unjust. And so you follow God's commandments. You will be rewarded justly for that. And of course, we're going to see the flip side to that. You live a wicked life, and God will pronounce you wicked and in sin and spiritual death. And you will die in that spiritual death, and you'll be punished for that. God is just and righteous and fair and without respect of persons. It's good to remind ourselves of that, because today there is so much of the other going on: injustice, unfairness, a respecter of persons, treating some people differently than others. We have two standards of law sometimes in this country, or two standards of the application of law. Some people are above the law, and the law doesn't touch them because they're rich and powerful, maybe, or they have some way of skirting the law or getting around the law, but that's not going to happen with God. So the first person is living a just and righteous life. Let's read now verses 10 through 13. If he, this just and righteous man, beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and doeth any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath wronged the poor and needy, and hath taken by robbery, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon interest, and hath taken increase. Shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die, spiritual death. His blood shall be upon him. And that's the point of the chapter. Each person is responsible for their own actions. So here's a really good father, and he begets a son that is the opposite of him. All the good things that the father did, the son did bad things. All the bad things that the father stayed away from, those are the things that the son did. He lived, as it were, an opposite life from his father. Well, what can we learn from that? Well, what we learn from that is that everybody has a free will, and you can be a really good parent, and you can raise your children the best you can raise them. But when they get older, often they will exercise their free will, and they will go off and do something that is bad and live in a bad way. That child is going to be held accountable for his or her own actions. You're not held accountable for that. You're held accountable for your actions. Now, understand then that you can have a good parent and a bad child. And also notice that this person, the child, is raised around a just and righteous father. Sometimes that influence takes hold, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes a child goes against the good and righteous influence of a parent. And so that's what we find here in this case. Notice then that he does the opposite of his father, and instead of being just, he is living in abomination, and he's going to die spiritually. His blood shall be upon him. So in the judgment day, he is standing for his own wicked conduct. Now, let's keep reading then. So we have the first generation, verses 5 through 9. Now we have the second generation, 10 through 13. Now let's look at the third generation, verse 14. Now lo, if he beget a son. Now, this is the bad person. If he beget a son that sees all his father's sins. So, the man in verse 10 through 13 grows up. He's a bad person. He becomes a father, and he begets a son who sees all of his father's sins, which he hath done, and fears and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath he lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife. Now we're back to the behavior of the grandfather in verses 5 through 9. This son is acting not like the father, but like the grandfather. And so he's not going to commit idolatry and so forth. Verse 16, neither hath wronged any, hath not taken aught to pledge, neither hath taken by robbery, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. By the way, living the righteous life is not just about staying away from bad stuff. It's also about positively doing good toward others. It's very important to stay away from bad things. I don't kill, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't commit adultery, I don't use bad words, I don't drink alcohol, I don't gamble, I don't smoke, etc. But what good am I doing toward others? Like the Good Samaritan, what am I out doing good to help others? And so this person is staying away from bad things and is also helping the poor. He has given his hand, verse 16, he has given his bread to the hungry and hath covered the naked with a garment. Excuse me. He's withdrawn his hand. He has withdrawn his hand from the poor that hath not received interest nor increased. This increase and interest was a special law for the Jews. They did not charge their own interest. He hath executed mine ordinances and hath walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. These are clear and plain statements that you're accountable for your own sins or your own righteousness or your own wickedness. You are responsible for that. Very clear. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. So we need to stop blaming people. And notice that a bad person, verses 10 through 13, can have a son who turns around and does that which is right. A lot of times we hear, well, a person came from a bad neighborhood or bad environment, or we were born in sin, or we were, I was born a homosexual and I just couldn't choose anything different, or the environment that we were raised in. Environment does play a big purpose in molding our behavior, a big role. But notice verse 14, this son had a bad environment. He lived with a wicked and bad father. That environment was around him. But notice what the text says. He sees what his father has done and fears and does not do it. He sees that this is wrong behavior. At some point in his life, he most likely had heard about the law of God so that he knows that there is a different life that needs to be lived. But he fears. He takes this seriously. He does not want to go down the path of his father. So notice that you can break away from a bad environment and you can live and do what is right. And he's not going to be judged for the iniquity of his father. He's going to live spiritually, be in a right relationship with God. Verse 18, as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother, and did that which is not good among his people, behold, he shall die in his iniquity. And that's the person of verses 10 through 13. So notice these different generations that are acting differently. Each person is accountable for his or her own righteousness or iniquity. Then in verse 19, yet say you, wherefore doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, just like the grandfather, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Friends, that's the truth of the matter. You choose, despite your environment, despite what's around you, you choose when you grow up to live a righteous life or a wicked life, and you're held accountable one way or the other. We live before a just and righteous and fair God. We need to stop blaming and excusing, and we simply need to bring our lives into conformity to God's will. And that will be the next lesson. Part two of this chapter 18, we'll be looking at the theme of change. A person can change and do what is right. I thank you for being on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.